welcome to show number 87 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Hey, what's happening, everybody? How's it going? Hopefully you are all doing well out there. I'm slightly under the weather, as you might be able to tell through my voice. Might not be able to get quite the inflection I'd like to get in terms of my excitement level for today's show, but it's great because the minute my voice goes out, we have a wonderful guest that we brought on today, Sean from Rancho Bernardo Sports Cards and Hobby, from rbcardsandhobby.com, but it's actually a physical hobby store that opened up about 6 months ago in San Diego, California area. So have a wonderful, you know, not just talking about his story, he talks about setting up the store and going through that whole process and competing online and competing with other places in the area. And we talk a little bit about the future of the hobby and all kinds of good stuff. And there's some great, if you ever wanted to know more about opening a card store, if you ever wanted to do it yourself, and you've heard all my tips that I like repeat probably over and over on the 87 shows that we've done, today we get a wonderful fresh batch of ideas and some wonderful tips that if you apply to your own business, it doesn't even necessarily have to be about be sports cards. It could be anything you're selling or any kind of business that you're trying to run. We got some great tips from Sean from rbcardsandhobby.com. So I'm really excited to bring him on. I think it's our first hobby store owner where it's like somebody that just you know, is from that angle where they're owns a store. We've had Tracy on, we've had people from forums, we've had people that have blogs, and so I'm glad, really happy to bring them on, and it was an interesting conversation. So we'll get to that in a little bit, but we've got some other exciting things to talk about. Hopefully my voice will hold for at least a couple more minutes, because you know how excited I'm going to be. We recorded our last show, it looks like, on November 22nd. Well, shortly after that, as you can remember, the NBA got their act together, and that's good. That's fine. They finally got their act together. That's great. So we're going to have basketball starting on Christmas. Christmas is going to be extra special this year, folks. I mean, you're going to be able to wake up. If you got kids, you're going to be able to give them a bunch of gifts. If you are a young person, I guess we're all young. Age is just relative. But, you know, when you're younger, you do get a lot of gifts. And as you get older, I guess you give a little bit more. So depending on what end of the spectrum you're on, hey, everybody's getting a gift when the NBA's got it. They were originally, I think, going to do about 3 games, but they've got 5 games lined up. Ended with, I think, that Clipper game and that Warriors game. If you're on the East Coast, it might be a little too late with all the food and dessert you'd be stuffed with. And by the time Christmas is wind down, it'd be almost like 10:30 when that game. I bet that's a 7 o'clock start. So you know, most people are only going to be on the West Coast that see that. I think that one might be exciting, but lots of great games. I think the Lakers play Chicago. I think the Heat even play Dallas. I think that's right off the bat. So it'll be very exciting to have basketball back. It's just wonderful to be able to say we're going to have basketball back. It's a 66 game season. So it should be a good test. And I don't think, I think there are some sour fans and some people that don't care. But I think for the most part, if you're a diehard basketball fan and you're excited anyways, you're excited and your Christmas just got even better. Well, after we recorded the show, or recorded the interview for today's show, R&B Cards and Hobby sent me a tweet and reminded me. I remember seeing this, but maybe didn't think about the significance of it. But Ken Griffey Jr., if I'm sure you've heard already, but if you haven't, he's going to be signing in Topps products next year. So that'll be kind of interesting. You'll see Griffey and Allen and Ginter. You'll see Griffey and Heritage, and you'll see Griffey in all the products, all the stuff, maybe even like Series 1 and stuff like that. So you should see Griffey in next year's Topps baseball. So that's exciting. He, of course, was locked down with upper deck. Now, the one thing I was thinking, well, you know, I know Griffey retired and he his collectability is still very strong and might get stronger as time goes on. You never know. But he once was one of the hottest athletes, as you know, if you're my age, if you're in your 30s or getting close to your 30s, I guess, you know how hot Ken Griffey was. But one thing I was interesting, you know, Upper Deck's been putting out this NCAA stuff. They've been putting out University of Texas. Last month they put out Oklahoma football and Texas, University of Texas football. And, you know, they've been doing a pretty good job with that. It seems like they've been, the cards sell for a decent amount of money. These cards with in the guys in their college uniforms seem to sell for pretty good money. It doesn't, I was looking at like Brady Quinn's that were selling for decent money because he was in his Notre Dame uniform. Of course, that's a few seasons ago. But, you know, it kind of lends to speculation that, hey, basketball cards, with the basketball coming back, the one thing that kind of really holds back Panini's basketball products is the fact that they don't have LeBron James or Michael Jordan. So if one, I know that Panini got Kobe right off the bat, and that was good. And then they got KD, I think when Absolute Basketball came out last year, or earlier this year, I think it was. So they got Kevin Durant. They have Derrick Rose a little bit. Derrick Rose stuff seems to be pretty limited. So maybe Derrick Rose doesn't sign as much, or maybe it's kind of expensive to get him in there. But it's limited there. They do have a decent amount of Magic Johnsons and some Legends and Larry Birds you see in there. But if Panini could ever get LeBron or Jordan, if they could ever switch and move boats like Ken Griffey, that would be great for Panini basketball. It would be great for basketball cards in general, because it's not that Upper Deck doesn't put out good basketball cards. Like their SP Authentic looks cool. They're coming out with like Upper Deck Retro that has like the rubies and all these like metal cards, like the old Fleer metal cards and stuff like that, and autographics and all the cards that we remember. They're bringing back one of those sets. So it's not like Upper Deck doesn't put out good sets. It's just, you know, you kind of, as a hobby, as we talked to Sean in just maybe about 5 minutes from now, you know, as a hobby store owner, you kind of need those products to roll out at least once a month, or at least every couple weeks, maybe every 6 weeks or so, to really give yourself a boost, because the serious collector is going to either find the players or the team he wants or the rookie he wants. And then once he's done with it, he's ready for the next set to come out. So I know collectors complained in the past when there was too many sets. And, you know, in some cases with basketball, with how little Michael Jordan and LeBron, two key basketball players, LeBron James and Michael Jordan, how little we see their signatures on basketball cards during the season, it does kind of have us wishing it was 2004, 2005 again, or 1998, 1999, when there was 50 million different basketball sets and you could find Jordan autographs and all kinds of stuff. So kind of miss that, those days. But who knows, maybe they'll come back with Ken Griffey Jr. You know, signing with Topps. Maybe some athletes will move around. Maybe Upper Deck's doing well with the college and kind of the niche soccer kind of things. Maybe they won't want to give LeBron the big bucks or Jordan the big bucks. Who knows? But maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they want to keep those guys and they realize how important it is for their business really to just block Panini, because the minute those guys go on the open market, I think Panini's checkbook would open up fairly wide. Now, speaking of your checkbook, if you're ever down in San Diego, in the San Diego area, specifically the 16769 Bernardo Center Drive, Suite K7, RB Cards and Hobby.com. We've got a great interview for you coming up right after this.
Well, I started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. And the sun went down as I crossed the hill. And the town lit up.
And we are back. We are joined today, Sean from Rancho Bernardo Sports Cards and Hobby just opened up in the city, and we wanted to bring him on to talk about the whole process and through going through opening the store and just everything you've gone through, Sean, to get where you have today. And I think it'd be fun to share that with our listeners that may be interested in doing their own same thing one day.
Definitely. It's it's something I've always wanted to do, and a lot of the places that used to be in business unfortunately went out of business. So yeah, there's an opportunity out there if other people are interested in it.
Absolutely. And it sounded like you started with your distributor account. You're going and setting up your account through different wholesalers, and maybe discuss that process. I get that question a lot, and maybe since you've just recently done it, maybe talk about how you had to get your business license and things like that.
Yeah, I spent about 2 months doing research on, you know, who were the best distributors in Southern California and how you go through the process of opening up a, you know, a business, getting the resale permits, getting the tax permits and all of that. And it's, for anyone that's interested, it's going to be a lot longer process than they would assume. However, it is possible without paying, you know, a lawyer and an accountant to assist you. I did it all myself. One of the biggest lessons learned that I've had is that you don't have to open up direct accounts with Tops and Panini. The prices for a lot of these products, you can find them online or at card shows for maybe 10% over actual wholesale cost. So that's one of the biggest lessons learned I've had, is that the distributors and having direct accounts, it's going to be essential in the long run. But right now I'm finding products at card shows that are easily accessible, so I can get it to my customers fast without having to order from the East Coast, from Tops, or from a distributor.
So it sounds like that's not even an essential piece to the business, but what does sound like a very essential piece is you just negotiated a lease with your property. It sounds like it's at 16769 Bernardo Center Drive and Suite K7. Talk to us about that process. Finding the property and signing the lease and going through that whole thing.
Yeah, that was also a really interesting piece of the process. Traditionally, if you're going to buy a house or real estate, you have to find you need to find a real estate agent to walk you through the process. However, it is not essential, in my opinion, to use what's called a commercial real estate agent to find a lease. A lot of times you can just walk around an area you think it would be, you know, a good opportunity, and call the phone numbers and talk to the seller's agents on a lease, directly. Don't be afraid of doing that, because the economy right now is bad, and it's left a lot of opportunity to negotiate very good leases, which is going to be, your primary cost every month that you're looking at when trying to open up your own store.
And maybe describe the area that you're in for people. You know, is it kind of a strip mall? Is it in a really busy area of town? Maybe describe where you're at right now.
So I'm in North County, San Diego, in an area called Rancho Bernardo, and I'm in the RV Plaza Shopping Center. So it's a large shopping center that has a grocery store. It has a CVS pharmacy. It has restaurants. And there's tons of what they call foot traffic around here. There's people walking around that will just, you know, see my sign or see a flyer and come in. That and the internet right now are primarily how I am I'm bringing customers in the door and spreading the word. So I'm in Rancho Bernardo, right off the I-15 in Bernardo Center Drive.
Beautiful. And how long have you been open?
I've been open about 6 months.
Okay.
I opened June 1st of this year.
Okay, and how do you feel things are going? Are they going as you kind of thought they might, or what kind of surprises or challenges have you come across?
This is a really good question. I have what I call educated buyers and repeat customers that they know the price of cars online. But they're willing to come into the store and buy here because they can get what they want quickly. And I always throw in extras. I'll throw in 2 boxes of top loaders and penny sleeves. Right now, for a brick-and-mortar store, you always have to do something a little extra. You compete with the large internet resellers like Blowout or Dave and Adam's Card World, which have great products, but sell at a lot lower price than brick-and-mortar stores can sell at.
And so you're adding supplies and things like that to the purchase, it sounds like. That sounds like it might have been successful?
Right. I give the customer an option. If they want top loaders, I'll throw in, a box of top loaders. If they're interested in other packs, I'll throw in a couple extra packs of maybe a product they're interested in. I really leave it up to the customer, and find out what they want and work with that.
Cool. Have you found that you've had some people come in and now they're coming in on a regular basis? Do you have some regular customers now? Have you built that up within 6 months?
Right. I have what I call repeat customers.
Okay, nice.
They know when the new products are coming out, and then so they'll come in, every Wednesday. And I will have, a box or two set aside specifically for them. And that's really essential to opening up your own store, is to make it worthwhile for the person to come in the store and buy versus go online and buy, where they wouldn't receive the box, especially here in California, maybe 3 or 4 days later. So I have developed a pool of repeat customers that's growing and referring other people, and that's really essential, if someone's interested in opening up their own store. Also, like we discussed before, it's essential to get kids into the hobby.
Yeah.
I give away cards to kids when they come in. Kids are the future of the hobby, and, you're competing with video games and baseball leagues, football leagues. It's really essential to get kids into the hobby, and it's a great way for kids to learn the value of buying something and holding on to the long term. So I give away cards, and good cards, to kids when they come in.
One other thing, so getting kids involved in the hobby is key to the future. What do you think, what other experience, what I kind of wanted to ask you is maybe taking a step back before the store. Obviously, it sounds like you know quite a bit about cards in the industry. What was your experience maybe before you even opened the card store, and what kind of things led you to open it, I guess?
Well, I've collected cards since I was a kid, and my personal collection mainly revolves around, quarterbacks. I've tried to collect, like a very high quality card of each Hall of Fame quarterback. And I'd say I'm about 70% there, with finding a PSA 8 or 9 quarterback's card. So I would would go to local card shops, and then one at a time, they started going out of business here in San Diego. So I saved up the money and, you know, decided that there was a niche and an opportunity here, so I went for it. Another one, probably one of the biggest lessons learned I've had is the prices from distributors and straight from the manufacturers is actually not as good as I thought. Learning where and how to get the cheapest prices for my customers has really been a process. The distributors, once they sell out of their initial orders, the price goes up, you know, 10-20% a week sometimes.
Right.
So you really have to look at what products that are coming out are going to be good, and you really have to load up on those.
Mm-hmm.
Products that are going to be hot, you know, to have for your customers and constantly have. There's a lot of research and little risk that goes into doing that. So that's one of the biggest things I found is you can't just rely on one distributor. You have to open up accounts with a lot of them and be in good standing with them, that they will, you know, save, you know, a couple boxes, maybe even a case for you, so when something's hot, you can still have it.
Wow. I mean, you will bring up a lot of good points, that a lot of the time that you're spending is on research, and you got to research the products and the hot products, and really that's, you know, one of the keys to getting in at the earliest price, because the pre-sale price is always the best, and they sometimes give you a discount if you order a decent amount. So these are just great advice to anybody that's looking to open up a card store. I was looking forward now, what, you know, you talked about getting kids into the hobby and things like that. What other kind of things do you think the future of the hobby, maybe good or bad?
I think the card companies really need to take a look at their redemption systems. And, you know, I've tried to talk to Pops about, you know, why they put so many redemptions in certain products. It really, the redemptions do not sell well as far as being in a store, and they really affect the quality of a product, I think. For example, 2011 Topps Marquee Baseball had a ton of redemptions, and I think really impacted the quality and the price of the product, because people, I don't think we're expecting so many redemptions. So I think the card companies really need to take a look at if they're going to put redemptions in, who it is, why they're doing it, can their customer service, you know, a portion of their business keep up with it? Because, you know, buyers now are very educated. They're always on the internet. They know when things are coming out, and they want them to come out quickly. And they see that it doesn't make sense that, say, Topps is sending out redemptions for Bowman Platinum in their products, but Bowman Chrome has on-card autographs.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't make sense to people. So that causes, you know, the price to, you know, stay lower than it would as if in respect to just putting every card in that's on card. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And especially
right.
Panini. Their first initial products this year, they haven't done that well. They really need to get their redemption system.
You find that people aren't happy with the redemptions with Panini?
Oh, definitely. You know, it's people are receiving 2010 rookie autos on the same day that the 2011 product comes out. I mean, they need to get caught up or just not, you know, do redemptions.
So some more consistency. I definitely think more consistency from product to product. Definitely less, I guess, redemptions for sure. And maybe trying to tighten up the products themselves would definitely go a long ways. Well, Sean, we've kept you quite a bit. I think you're even on the clock right here in your store. Maybe give a few shout outs to, again, where people can find you in store, on the web, and maybe on in the social atmosphere around there.
Oh, sure. My website is rvcardsandhobby.com, and I also have a Facebook and Twitter account. My Twitter account is rvsportscards.
Cool.
My Facebook page is, you can just search Rancho Bernardo Sports Cards and find it. Again, I'm located in North County, San Diego, right off the I-15, and here in RB. I frequently post specials on my Facebook and Twitter account, you know, to get people to follow those. I also do promotions every Monday night football game at the Downtown and Mission Valley Tilted Kilt, which is a restaurant here in San Diego.
Oh, cool.
I do promotions there where we give out free autographed items.
Nice.
And boxes of cards, you know, as part of a trivia game. I also do in-store autograph appearances. I've had, so far, Dominic Cruz, who's the UFC Bantamweight champion. I've had Kawhi Leonard, who is the 15th overall pick in the 2011 NBA draft.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing for the Spurs. So you kind of have to do everything to get people interested and spread the word
right about
your store.
Well, that sounds, man, that sounds like fun. So I wish, I definitely, if I come down to Southern California, I will pay you a visit. I hope anybody that's listening to this show, if you're heading down in that area, definitely pay Sean a visit. What are your hours? What kind of hours you running down there?
I'm open noon to 8 on weekdays and then 10 to 6 on the weekends.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, that sounds sounds like fun. Well, definitely, we definitely all wish you luck, and we definitely appreciate you coming on, and you gave some tremendous advice in terms of how the distributors' prices really aren't that great and how you have to do your research and pick the right product. You got to pick and choose the right product and how educated the collectors are. We had a great time with you today, Sean. We'll let you get back to work. Thanks for coming on again.
Great. Thanks for having me on. And I just want to make one last plug for everyone to support their local card shops. And, you know, with the brick and mortar stores going out, it's really hurt the hobby. And, you know, just think before you go and buy online next time, you know, can you help out your local shop? And they'll probably give you, you know, a discount and work with you. You know, it's fire to open it in the shop and get on their wall of fame versus, I guess, open it at home, you know, is what I tell people. You know, who wants to open things at home
right by
themselves, you know?
Right. It is a lot of fun in a store having people look over your shoulder and all, people walking through, maybe passing by, see you hit something. It is a lot of fun. Amen to that. Thanks again, Sean. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. And we are back. Thanks again to Sean from Rancho Bernardo Sports Cards and Hobby. We really appreciate it. If you're down in that area, you know, hey, check him out. Check him out. Or, you know, send him an email. Get on his Facebook. Get on his Twitter. Sometimes, you know, I know as a hobby store owner, like he said, you know, they give cards away to kids, and they often have cards around, not necessarily just to give away for free. But if you're kind of the kind of person that, hey, you're looking for a certain card, or you're a certain player collector, or you're a certain autograph collector, you have something that you're looking for on a consistent basis, sometimes finding a relationship with a card store owner might be one of the best ways to find these cards. Because I remember when I had a card store, I was seeing people rip open cards all day, and sometimes they would leave them, or sometimes, you know, you would just, somebody would walk through the door with a stack of boxes, and you would take $5 for them all. you know, and there was all kinds of different cards in there. Sometimes you don't necessarily have to go to eBay or go to checkoutmycards.com or Amazon or wherever, or the forums or wherever it is, to buy a card or trade for a card. And you might not, even if you don't live in San Diego, if you don't even live in the area, you can, you know, get in contact with Twitter these days, get in contact with Facebook, get in contact via the mail, get in contact via the phone, however it is, and, you know, check it out. I encourage you to do that, to all sports card shops. I'm pretty sure, you know, almost every hobby store owner would be open to ship out some cards every once in a while if you're a good, you know, if you pay them a couple bucks or whatever, you pay them a fair price for their time and for the cards. I don't think any hobby store owner would say no to any requests you have, especially if you have trouble finding the cards on eBay, because eBay and even Check Out My Cards sometimes, you know, hey, if you just want one base card, it's kind of, you know, someone may be able to do a SACE for you on that or send it out for you for 44 cents or 45 cents, 50 cents. Those kind of things don't always happen. So, you know, try around at all different hobby shops, even for boxes or hard to find things. I think the more we support our hobby store, like you said, the hobby store is not just a place to go to find the lowest price or find you know the hottest wax or whatever. It's a place to socialize a little bit and maybe see other collectors, maybe see some cards you've never seen before, and maybe get in touch with the hobby a little bit more, maybe get some tips from Sean, get some tips from some other collectors in there, maybe even do some trading, you never know. So those are the kind of things we should all keep in mind. I really want to go. If I had my car, I don't know what the gas mileage is, but it's not good. When you have a car that is older than me, I'm almost 30, and my car is a little bit older than I am, so you know that gas mileage is not good, and it's diesel, because diesel used to be diesel. Most of you remember this, but some of our younger listeners might not remember when diesel used to be cheaper than the normal gas. And depending where you live, maybe I'm blowing smoke up your you know what right now, but in California, I believe diesel has some kind of surtax on it to where it's the most expensive gas that you can buy. So I'm literally, I should just have a Ferrari and be putting 99 octane in it, because it would be about the same as the diesel number two. I'm throwing in a 40-year-old car. So it's very disappointing. My point is, if I had maybe a slightly better gas mileage, I would definitely go to Modesto a little bit more and check out the card store that's really the closest to me. No excuses. Next time I'm going through the area, I definitely will check it out. And I always find stuff there. I always at least buy supplies, because you always run out of supplies, and they have lots of boxes. That's also the really cool thing, and that's probably the one thing that is very difficult to buy either online or on eBay or wherever. You know, you really do have to go to a card store, and it's really nice to go to the card store, because you can get cardboard boxes, because I send a decent amount of cards out and stuff like that. And whenever you run out, it's hard to find boxes that fit cards, and they have all different sizes there. So that's very, very cool. So hopefully you learned a few things. If you're interested in opening a store, I get maybe at least two or three emails a month about somebody that's trying to sell online or trying to sell or open a card store or thinking about it and stuff like that. So I think I'll probably direct them to this show more often than not, because I think there was some good tips in there. So maybe you'll let us know what you think. You can also let RB Cards and Hobby know via their Twitter and Facebook what you thought about the interview as well. It's been a good show, I thought. So, well, my voice has already kind of given out. So we will wrap this thing up. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's show, and we'll come back. I'll drink some water and drink some lemon juice and get a Ricola or whatever those throat lozenges are that may soothe my throat. And we'll come back shortly. I have another interview guest lined up from Sports Card Blog. I'm trying to figure out his prefix, or his, I guess it would be suffix to his blog here. It's sportscardblog.net. So I think we're going to get the guy that writes that blog on either next show or very shortly. So you have that to look forward to. And I think there was another guest that I wanted to get on. Just can't remember who it is right now. So hopefully I'll remember at some point. And we'll tease that or just bring it to you at some point as well. So you have those things to look forward to. And hopefully things are going well for your collection. Remember on our last show, we talked about selling the tops. And it's not that we don't like Matt Forte. It's not that we don't like Andy Dalton. Not that we don't like AJ Green. But we saw in the latter two there, you know, AJ Green, Andy Dalton look great 1 week, and then they go play Pittsburgh and they get their behinds handed to them. So, you know, those are the kind of things you want to keep in mind, with especially with young players. And you want to look at guys like Colt McCoy. We didn't really talk about it on last show, but look at Colt McCoy. Look at Sam Bradford. Look at Josh Freeman. Three guys last year that were like kind of the sexy young new QBs. And now you got, now they're like almost struggling not to keep their jobs, but to keep their place, I guess, where they were in the echelon of quarterbacks in the NFL. So you could see how quickly it goes. I was looking at Sam Bradford autograph rookies, I think, that were selling for like $60, maybe even less than that. So that's pretty cheap considering how expensive Cam Newton's are, how expensive Blaine Gabbert's are, and Jake Locker. And so imagine where Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert are going to be next year. Maybe one of them will be good, but chances are, even you can throw Andy Dalton in there, they'll probably be closer to Colt McCoy status, Josh Freeman status. We're not hating on those guys. We're not hating on these QBs, but the difference between a Colt McCoy rookie and a Sam Bradford rookie autograph versus Tom Brady and an Aaron Rodgers autograph rookie or rookie is astronomical. So if you're worried about the value of your cards, as I think most people are, you don't typically want to buy something that's just going to be completely worthless down the road. You'd sure like for the value to go up. You know, if you're a middle tier quarterback, you're often forgot about. You got to get into that like top 3, 4, 5. Basically, you got to win a Super Bowl, but you got to get into that conversation first, and then you got to break through. So we'll see. I think the, you know, to summarize again from last week, to emphasize our points last week, you know, hey, get in there, move, sell your collection. I'm selling stuff only to make sure I buy when the prices get low again, when everybody says, oh, Andy Dalton sucks, AJ Green sucks, because they can't beat the good team, quote unquote good teams like the Steelers, or they can't win a big game like that. Hey, if people are selling, I'll get in there and buy. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully maybe you can incorporate some of those things in your own collection. You know, you never know what kind of, I only do it to so I can have some more money to buy more cards. That's, I'm not doing it to buy a new laptop or buy a, you know, a PlayStation 3 game or something like that. You know, I think you should figure out ways to save money for those things in other ways. Really, I'm just trying to increase my hobby bankroll. It's kind of like playing professional poker. You enter tournaments and you pay, you know, $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 or more to enter a tournament, and you're trying to make money. So, and typically if you come in 10th place and make 50,000 $50,000? You're going to take that $50,000 and go play in 10 more tournaments. So that's kind of what I'm doing with my cards. And I'm kind of curious to see if any of you do that as well, or if you just kind of hold everything. I think with vintage cards, I think if you're buying retired, but not necessarily a vintage card, you could be buying retired players or players that are very close to the end of their career. I think definitely my method of buying and selling is ridiculous. That's like this. Why would you buy and sell Magic Johnson rookie cards? You know, I think really you're probably best bet there is to hold. So I don't want you to get confused, my message to get confused there. Really, I'm talking about hot players, hot rookies, guys in their second, third, fourth year, right in the primes of their career. Because as we've seen, it seems to tail off pretty quick. So hopefully, maybe you get some tips out of that. So we'll see. Maybe it doesn't work for everything. I definitely don't think for vintage. Vintage right now, I think I'd be buying and holding right now on vintage, because I think that you can find some good prices on some cards. You can find some cards in some decent condition and find some good deals there. So I would be buying and holding on vintage and probably, you know, mixing it up, selling, buying and selling on everything else. And if you end up having to hold it because it goes down, then hopefully it's a guy you like. Hopefully it's a player you collect. And so, you know, if I buy some Andy Dalton autographs at 40 and then he breaks his toe and he can't play the rest of the year, then I'll just hold them. You know what I mean? So, hey, that's about it, folks. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks again to Sean from Rancho Bernardo Sports Cards. We'll hopefully bring him on again later on down the road, see and check in. We have some other interview guests too that we'll probably re-bring on just to check in with them, see how they're doing as this radio program just rolls on down the highway. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully your collection is going well, and you can always contact us with any questions you have at sportscardshow@gmail.com. See you later, guys.